Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build that old school rave pressure feel in Ableton Live 12, but in a way that still holds up as a proper drum and bass sub. So we're not making some wild, floppy wobble bass. We're making a low end that feels alive, a little unstable in a controlled way, and still totally solid under the kick and break. That's the key idea here. The sub should breathe. It should lean into the groove. It should feel like it's reacting to the drums, not just sitting there doing nothing. And if you get this right, your bass line starts sounding more like a played part and less like a static tone. First thing, keep it clean. Start with a pure sine-based sub. You can use operator or wave-eatable. If you're using operator, load it up and set oscillator at a sine only. Turn the others off. Keep the voice count to 1 so it stays monophonic and focused. If you're using wave-eatable, choose a sine-like waveform and strip away anything extra. For now, no stereo tricks, no whitening, no fancy movement yet. Just get a clean foundation. A good starting range for drum and bass is around F1 to A1, depending on the key of the tune. Don't push it too low unless you really know the system, and the tuning will support it. A sub that is too low can disappear faster than you think, especially once you add the kick and break. Now, here's where the character starts to come in. Old school pressure usually isn't about huge modulation. It's about micro movement. So instead of making the bass obviously wobble, we want to make it subtly shift. One nice approach is a tiny pitch dip right at the start of the note. Just a very short, gentle movement, maybe -5 to -12 cents. That gives the note a bit of thump and attitude. It's almost like the bass is grabbing the note rather than just landing on it. You can also use very slow pitch modulation, but keep it extremely subtle. We're talking 1 to 5 cents. Not an obvious synth effect. The point is that when the groove is playing, the bass feels slightly human and slightly animated. Next, let's add rhythmic filtering. This is where the sub starts feeling more like rave pressure and less like a plain sine. Drop auto filter after the synth and set it to a low pass 24 dB mode. Keep resonance low, because too much resonance can make the low end poke out in ugly ways and fight the kick. Then bring in a very small amount of LFO movement. Slow rates work really well here. Like 1 bar, half a bar, or even 2 bars depending on the vibe. A tiny amount of movement is enough. Think of this as motion you feel more than hear. The bass should not suddenly become a bass wobble patch. It should just seem to lean forward and breathe with the track. That's especially effective in jungle or early rave style drum and bass, where the low end has this nervous, urgent energy without losing control. Now let's shape the volume a little. A lot of classic bass pressure comes from envelope behavior, not just note choice. You can use amp or utility for some simple shaping, or automate volume if you want to get more hands-on. A quick attack and short decay can make the bass feel a little more punched in and responsive. If you want to get more detailed, you can also play with note lengths directly in the MIDI clip. And that brings us to one of the biggest things in this style. The MIDI phrasing. Old school pressure really comes alive when the bass line is written like it's talking to the drums. Use short notes on some hits, longer held notes in the gaps, and a few pickup notes leading into the next bar. Ghost notes can work beautifully too, especially if they're lower in velocity and tucked in under the main phrase. The goal is to make the bass feel like it's dancing with the break. A static, perfectly even bass line can sound okay, but it usually won't deliver that rave tension. Try this mindset instead. Some notes should feel clipped and urgent, some should carry, and some should act like tiny pushes into the next phrase. That rhythmic variation is a massive part of the energy. Now, here's an important production trick. Keep the true sub clean, and put the more noticeable movement in a parallel mid layer. This is huge for drum and bass. Duplicate the bass track, then high pass the duplicate so it's not carrying the real low end. Around 90 to 150 Hz is a good place to start, depending on the sound. On that layer, you can add saturation, filtering, maybe a little extra movement, and even a bit of detune or texture if needed. That way, the listener hears the animation, but the actual sub stays tight and club safe. This is one of those moves that makes a track feel bigger without making the master harder to control. The sub gives you the weight. The layer above gives you the attitude. Speaking of weight, let's talk saturation. Used carefully, saturation adds harmonic density, so the bass translates better on smaller speakers and in dense mixes. A little drive on saturator can go a long way. Start gentle, maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive, and keep an ear on whether the sub is still clean. If it starts sounding blurry or smeared, back off. You want warmth and presence, not mush. Soft clip can help too, but again, keep it controlled. And for the actual sub channel, keep it mono. That's non-negotiable. if you want this to survive mastering and still hit properly on a club system. Use utility and set the width to 0 if needed. Any stereo excitement should live in the upper layer, not in the true low end. The sub has one job: stay focused and powerful. Now let's make sure the kick and bass work together. Sidechaining is essential in this kind of material. Put a compressor on the bass group and sidechain it from the kick. You don't need huge pumping unless that's the specific vibe. Usually, a few dB of gain reduction is enough. Fast attack, reasonably quick release, and a ratio that gives you controlled ducking. The goal is for the kick to speak clearly and the bass to return cleanly right after. In drum and bass, that relationship is everything. If the bass is fighting the kick, the whole low end loses authority. A nice thing to listen for is whether the bass feels like it's recovering in time with the groove. If it ducks and comes back musically, the sidechain is helping the rhythm. If it disappears too hard or breathes in a way that feels too obvious, ease it up. Another powerful idea is arrangement-based modulation. Don't leave the sub exactly the same from start to finish. Use automation to open the filter slightly in a build, back it off in a breakdown, increase saturation in a drop, or tighten note lengths before a fill. That kind of movement across sections keeps the bass line feeling alive over time. For example, in the intro, you might keep the sub filtered and restrained. In the build, open things up a little and bring in more motion. In the drop, let the full sub speak with the mid layer active. In the breakdown, strip it back again so the listener feels contrast. Then when the second drop comes in, make one change that increases intensity. That could be a slightly faster LFO, a touch more drive, or a more animated MIDI phrase. You don't need to change everything. One smart move is often enough. A really important teacher note here: if the low end gets vague, simplify before you start overthinking the processing. Reduce modulation depth first. Check the MIDI. Check note lengths. Check the sidechain. A lot of low-end problems are arrangement problems or movement problems, not EQ problems. Don't trust solo mode too much either. A bass patch can sound exciting alone and then lose all its authority once the kick and break are back in. Always check it in context. Here's a strong practical chain you can use as a starting point. On the sub-channel, try operator, then auto-filter, then saturator, then compressor for sidechain, then utility for mono control. On the parallel movement layer, use EQ8 to remove the sub, then saturator, then auto-filter, and maybe a very subtle chorus ensemble if it stays above the sub range and doesn't smear the mix. On the bass group, a little glue compressor or EQ cleanup can help, but keep it light. Now, let's talk about a slightly more advanced trick: velocity-driven modulation. If you map MIDI velocity to things like filter cutoff, saturation drive, or envelope amount, the sub can react more like a performance. That's especially useful if you want the bass line to feel more human and less mechanical. Just keep the mapping intentional. If you can't explain what the movement is doing musically, it's probably too much. You can also do two-stage movement. That means one very slow motion for the overall phrase, plus a smaller, faster motion for detail. The slow movement gives you the sense of evolution. The faster movement adds a little internal life. Used together, they can make the bass feel organic without becoming messy. Another good idea is to use ghost layer triggering. Duplicate the MIDI and create a second lane with shorter notes, lower velocity, and a different filter setting. Blend that in quietly under the main sub. It can make the bass line feel more forward and more active, especially in rolling sections. Again, the trick is subtlety. We want pressure, not clutter. And if you want even more classic energy, think about call and response phrasing. Let one bass phrase land with a kick, then leave space, then answer with a longer note or a little more edge. That's a very strong jungle and rave influenced move, because it makes the bass feel like part of the drum conversation. Here's a simple practice challenge to lock this in. Build a 4-bar sub phrase using a pure sine source. Write a pattern with short notes, a held note, a pickup into the next bar, then one variation in the final bar. Add subtle auto-filter movement, a little saturation, and sidechain compression. Then duplicate the track and build a mid layer with EQ and saturation. Compare sub only, sub plus layer, and the full mix with drums. The goal is to make it feel more aggressive without turning the volume up. That's the Reval skill. If you can increase intensity without increasing loudness, you're thinking like a proper D&B engineer. So to wrap it up, the formula is simple, but the execution matters. Start with a pure mono sine sub. Add subtle pitch, filter, or amplitude movement. Keep the real sub clean. Put the expressive motion in a parallel layer. Saturate lightly for density. Sidechain properly to the kick. Then automate changes across the arrangement so the bass line evolves and keeps tension alive. The big takeaway is this: the sub should feel alive, not unstable. That's the difference between a bass patch that just exists and one that actually drives a drum and bass track with old school rave pressure.